الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. All praise and all thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God but Him and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger and His prophet. Ramadan Mubarak to one and all. I hope, inshallah, the month is going well and that we are reaping from it what we hope and getting benefits that we know and that we don't know. Of course, one of our focus issues in this month is that we pray more. And I would like the focus for this khutbah, inshallah, to be not just that we pray more, but that we pray better. And to that end, I want to go into a subject that I'm sure has been gone over many times, but hopefully, inshallah, in a little bit of a different way. And that subject is the Fatiha. So that as our understanding of the Fatiha deepens, that prayer would become better, would become more meaningful, so that we're not just racing through the verses, it is actually evoking very specific or very particular thoughts, and there will be some very broad themes. And let me mention one of them at the outset, and that theme is that we as Muslims should be very tolerant and very flexible of different points of view. That has been one of the big problem areas in our ummah, and as we go through the Fatiha, we will see that as we come to understand what has been written about it, we cannot but help to become more tolerant and more accepting of different points of view among our fellow Muslims, so that these should not lead to a difference. That, of course, is a sub-theme. It's not the main theme, but I wanted to state it up front so that we can, inshallah, pay attention to it as we go. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihati al-kitab." There is no prayer for the one who does not recite the Fatiha. So that shows us its central importance. In the Quran, we know that it has been called as sab' al-mathani, the seven oft recited or seven preferred verses. It is also known as Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, and was of course referred to by the Prophet and the companions as Fatihatul Kitab. And so we begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And before we actually get into the meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it's important to note, talking about that sub-theme I mentioned, that among our greatest scholars, there is a difference of opinion as to whether Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is actually a verse of the Fatiha, is one of the seven verses, or it is simply a separator beginning the surah, as we often recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before any surah. And so that may be surprising, because of course when we open up our current Qurans here, we always see it as verse number one. It is the first verse of the Fatiha. But I want you to be aware and want to remind myself that there is a very genuine and very well-discussed difference of opinion as to whether Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a verse or not a verse. And so you will see that, for example, when you pray behind people, some people will recite it out loud, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Other people will immediately begin, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And we have all prayed behind each other with those differences on a very central topic, with no bad feelings, no blame, no you're wrong, no you're wrong, no you're kafir, nothing like that. Now, when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that has been given many shades of meaning by the scholars. That, of course, the literal translation, in the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful. Some have said that this is actually a statement of blessing, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this action, to bless this prayer, the way we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim to invoke God's blessings on anything that we do, like eating a meal, like slaughtering something for food. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Others have said there's actually, in our mind, we never add anything to the Quran, of course, but there's a dropped verb, like abda'u, I begin, or aqra'u, I recite, in the name of God, the gracious, the merciful, and that's how they understand it. Others have said that this is a statement of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what was the first revelation, what is the first commandment that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of course us received? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Recite in the name of your Lord who created. So every time I then say bismillahir rahmanir rahim in the name of Allah, I am saying I am obeying that first command. Every time, every recitation, every prayer. And so it is a statement of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that very first command that he issued to mankind in the Quran. Others have said that it is taking an oath or swearing in the name of Allah. Because as you know, in Arabic, you can say wallahi, by Allah, if you're swearing an oath. But you can also say billahi, by Allah, to swear an oath, or tallahi, and all of them appear in Arabic in very well-grounded ways. And so when I say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I am swearing an oath that everything else I am saying after this, I bear witness to that, that this is true. In the name of God, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and so forth. Okay? So there would be four meanings among many, but to be aware that there are so many shades of meaning. And of course, the magic and the miracle of the Quran is that it is a bouquet. There's not just one meaning that's correct, but it is all of the meanings together, just like all of the different colors of light go in to make the bright white light. Then, let's now look at the word Allah. So Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Some have said that this is the proper name of God, just like in English, capital G-O-D, God is the proper name. It is not derived from anything else. In Arabic, as you know, almost all words are derived from a verb. But some say the word Allah is a proper name. It is the name of God in Arabic. Others say it is a contraction of al-ilah, the ilah, the God. So people are worshiping all of these false idols, all of these fake gods, all of these things, but this is the God. So that al-ilah becomes contracted to Allah. Then others point to that it is derived from a verb. And so this would give us a few shades of meaning into what does Ismul Jalala, the name of magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does this word mean? And so the first verb they point to is alaha. Alaha ya'lahu. That in Arabic means he worshipped. So if you say, for example, alaha allaha ilahatan, that is the exact same meaning as abad allaha ibadatan. He worshipped Allah, a dutiful worship. So that if it is derived from a verb, that verb means to worship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we worshiped. Then there are other more subtle and more obscure meanings in Arabic, but I could say, for example, alahtu, and you notice the similarity between Allah and alaha, alahtu, I'm talking about myself now, alahtu ila fulan, that in Arabic means I feel secure and safe with this person. And that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our source of peace and security and safety. Or if I say, alahtu ila fulan, the exact same verb, but in a different context, it can mean, I'll say it in Arabic and then translate, faza'tu ila fulan. Faza'tu means I spill out to him, I confide in him all of the things that I am afraid of. All of my terrors, all of my anxieties, I confide in that person. And that would be, again, one possible root verb from which the term Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is derived. And so we can see in all of these meanings how it relates to our understanding and our relationship as we stand before the Creator. Then Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So we translate it as the gracious, the merciful. Now, this has so much interesting material written on it. And of course, we only have a short khutbah. So let me just very quickly. Some people say that they are both synonyms of mercy. That he is the gracious, he is the merciful, and they are repeated for emphasis. Others say, no, they actually have different meanings. Ar-Rahman means a general mercy, a mercy that extends to everyone. Muslim, non-Muslim, believer, non-believer. So that, for example, imagine after a drought, and everybody is very thirsty for water, the plants, the humans, and then the life-giving rain comes. That is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to everyone. To Muslim, to kafir, to Christian, to Jew, to human, to animal, to plant. And that would be what is encompassed by Ar-Rahman, the general mercy. And then they say Ar-Rahim is a specific mercy. And that specific mercy is an extra mercy to the believers. And some people will say that Ar-Rahim also relates to God's mercy in the hereafter. Ar-Rahman means in this world. And some people will pray, Ya Rahman al-Dunya, Ya Rahim al-Akhirah. Oh, the one who is the Rahman of this world and the Rahim of the hereafter. Because Ar-Rahman is the general mercy to everyone in this world. And the Rahim is the mercy to the believers in the hereafter. I myself, and God knows best, gravitate more toward the opinion that is voiced by Muhammad Asad, based on an Arabic analysis that we won't go into now, that Ar-Rahman means the essence of mercy. That it is God's nature, his essence, is mercy. And Ar-Rahim is the manifestation of that essence. So that his essence is mercy, and then its manifestation are the actual blessings that are conveyed. So that, astaghfirullah, not to liken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to any human, but just to give an analogy so we can understand. Somebody's essence may be that they are very humorous. And the manifestation of that is that they tell jokes and make us laugh. So Ar-Rahman would be the essence of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is a synonym for Allah. Of all of the divine names, it is the only one that is not just a description, but a synonym. So we say, وَعِبَادُ اللَّهِ, and the Quran will say, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, اُدْعُوا اللَّهَ وَادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ, pray to Allah or pray to Ar-Rahman. Because no other created thing can have its entire essence be mercy. We can manifest some mercy, so you can describe a man as Rahim, but you can never describe a man as Rahman. That is exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, Alhamdulillah. So, Alhamdulillah, Alhamd is, we translate it often as thanks to Allah or praise to Allah. It is a combination of those and more. So that Alhamd is not only thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And praise is for qualities. Thanks is for something. You do nice, something nice to me, I say thank you. But for example, I don't thank a person for being smart, right? I don't say thank you for being so smart unless that intelligence has somehow benefited me. But I can praise the quality of intelligence in that person. And so when I say Alhamdulillah, we are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course, for the believer, it is also a sign of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his will. So that when I'm sick and you ask me how I'm doing, I hope that my response will be Alhamdulillah. That, yes, I'm sick, but what I'm saying to you is praise and thanks to Allah for whatever it may be. And that is my statement of submission, rather than, oh, my head hurts, my foot hurts, and so on and so forth. Or I say, Alhamdulillah, my head hurts. So it is praise and thanks and submission all rolled into one. And for what was, for what is, and for what will be. And that's why it is made as a blanket statement in Arabic, Alhamdulillah, praise and thanks to Allah. The Fatiha could easily have contained instead, Nahmadullah, we praise Allah. And later on, we talk in the Fatiha about ourselves. But the opening statement, when you make it a verb like that, then whenever you use a verb, it has a time limit. It's either a past tense verb or a present tense verb or a future verb. And then if I'm not here, then that verb doesn't happen. But Alhamdulillah is a blanket statement that is not put in terms of a verb like we thank Allah. It is thanks and praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we exist or not. In the past, now, and in the future, always and forever. And so the scholars have talked about how, why is it put as Alhamdulillah, not Nahmadullah? Then, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Rabb, in Arabic, we translate as Lord of the Worlds. Rabb doesn't just mean the person in charge or the one who has authority. In Arabic, Rabb means the cherisher, the sustainer, the caretaker, the one who not only has the supreme authority, but the one who takes care of everyone in this dominion. So when you say Rabbud Dar in Arabic, the head of the household, it doesn't just mean the one in authority over the household, it means the one who takes care of everyone in the household. Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the Worlds. What worlds these are, we don't know. But the important thing is it's not about us. There is more than our world. It could be the world of the ins and the world of the jinn. It could be the world of plants and the world of animals and the world of humans and the world of angels and so many worlds that we may know nothing about. Then we get to Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Again, we've talked about this, repeated for emphasis. Maliki Yawm al-Din, he is the one who is in charge of the Day of Judgment. And the debates here as well abound, but in the interest of time, so as not to prolong the khutbah, I will ask us with just the beginning couple of verses, what we've talked about, to turn now in prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, udu Allah, and we'll continue insha'Allah in the next khutbah to explore a couple more. Udu Allah. Alhamdulillah. ثم الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. So مالك يوم الدين. مالك is the owner of. But it is important for us to know that there is an equal recitation, and you may have had the experience of praying behind someone who, instead of reciting it as مالك يوم الدين, recites it as مالك يوم الدين. Both of those are actually accepted renditions of the Fatiha. Malik means the owner, Malik means the king. And some say that when you look in the Quran, you'll notice that it's written with a tiny little alif, not a big alif, for those who speak Arabic, to accommodate both readings. So that you could say Malik or you can say Malik. And again, here's that mental flexibility. We don't stand behind someone in prayer and he recites Maliki Yawm al-Din and we say, Astaghfirullah, brother, you made a mistake. It's Maliki Yawm al-Din. Both of them are well accepted in our literature. And there are debates. Is the owner better? Is the king better? You could say the owner is the one who owns everything, but then you say, but he's the owner, but he's not the king. So you could be the king, like the king of England. He's my king, but he doesn't own me. But again, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's a combination of both. And Yawm al-Din, of course, we know the word deen as religion. But in this context, it doesn't mean that, and God knows best. The Arabists say it comes from the verb, for example, when you say the sentence, kema yudinu yuden, that whatever debt you acquire, you will be held to account. That's my best translation of that sentence. So that it is the day of recompense. He is the owner and the king of the day of judgment, when we will be held to account for what we have indebted ourselves with in this life. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You are the one that we worship, and you are the one that we ask for help. And you'll notice something very interesting here in the Arabic. And that very interesting thing is that the object comes before the verb. So if I were to translate it literally in English, I would normally say, we worship you. And in Arabic, it would be, na'buduka. The Quran doesn't say that. It says, iyaka na'budu. So the English translation would be, you we worship. We bring the object out front. That's very, very uncommon in Arabic. That is not a common construction at all. Why does the Quran do that? The Arabists say that is something known as uslubu al-hasr wal-qasr. What does that mean? It means the construction of exclusivity. So when I say in English, it just sounds like I'm just flipping things around. Na'buduka, we worship you. Iyaka na'budu, you we worship. But when you say to someone who is well-versed in Arabic, Iyaka na'budu, they understand that what that means, it's not just we worship you, oh no, you we worship. It means we worship you and you alone exclusively. That's what flipping that object in front does. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you, we ask for help, and no one else. We ask you exclusively for help because we submit that everything is in your hands. Next khutbah, inshallah, if God gives us the life, and if He wills, we will continue with the Fatiha because I don't want to shortchange it. I don't want to rush through it. I'm trying to illustrate the richness of meaning. And then my final advice would be that for each of us to use this Ramadan to develop a personal relationship with the Fatiha so that on the Day of Judgment, it can bear witness for us. That I didn't just zip through the verses with every prayer, that it evoked something in my mind. And with what we've seen in terms of the differences of opinion, that personal relationship should truly be personal. My relationship will be different than your relationship and your relationship, and that's okay. We've already seen that that's okay. We don't want to insist, well, it has to mean this to each and every one of us. And so, when we look at the Fatiha, I don't like talking about my acts of worship. I like to keep that personal between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to give you one example, when I say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the meaning I think of, being aware of all of the meanings that we've talked about, in my own mind, I feel that I am taking an oath. So that in my mind, of course, as I said, we never add anything to the Quran, but in my mind, what I'm thinking, in the name of God, the gracious, the merciful, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ashhad, I bear witness. What am I bearing witness to? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the past, in the present, in the future, now and forever, for whatever has been, for whatever will be. That's just me. But we've discussed a whole bunch of different meanings. Take one of those or two of those and form your own relationship with the Fatiha. We start off saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all thanks to the Lord of the worlds. That's a statement of power. The Lord of the worlds. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The gracious, the merciful. That's a statement of mercy. Maliki Yawmiddin. The owner of the day of judgment. That's a statement of power. So in my own mind, as I'm reciting this sequence, I think of a mercy sandwich. Mercy between two loaves of power. And so that sets me up when I say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you are the one that we worship. That is directed to the power component. You are the one and only you that should be worshipped. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, and you are the one and only you do we ask for help. That is directed to the mercy component. And because if I'm going to ask someone for help, two things need to be there. They need to be able to help me, they need to have the power, and they need to care enough or want to help me. They need to have the mercy. If I ask someone whose heart bleeds for me, but they just can't help me, they can't help me. If I ask someone who has all the power to help me, but they have no mercy toward me and won't care to help me, they won't help me. But when I think of this sequence of power, mercy, power, it sets me up. You are the one I ask. You are the one I worship. You are the one I ask. So there are so many different ways to develop this relationship with the Fatiha. And develop it and keep it to yourself or share it. As I said, I ordinarily would not share anything, but for the purposes of this khutbah, I wanted to share a few of my own thoughts, and God knows best. And I know I may be wrong, and I ask Allah to forgive me if I am, but I'm trying to expend an effort that this Fatiha becomes something personal. It becomes what I use to confide in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I use to ask Him, what I use to glorify Him. And I have, my hope is to have a personal relationship with it, an intimate relationship with it, so that inshallah on the day of judgment, this Fatiha can bear witness that this man or this woman cared about me. They had a relationship with me. They didn't ignore me or rush through me or quickly say something and move on to something else or talk to me but think of other things while they're talking to me. No, they had a close relationship with me. And then, inshallah, that relationship will be an intercession or a shafa'ah for us on the day of judgment. That's our hope. And that is my Ramadan hope for myself. That is my Ramadan hope for you, that we develop and strengthen our relationship with the Fatiha. Allahumma ilayka aslamna, wa bika amanna, wa ilayka anabna, wa alayka tawakkalna. Allahumma aj'al al-Qur'ana manba'a yaqinina, wa rabi'a qulubina, wa amanat raw'ina, wa nura qabrina, وشفاعة لنا يوم لقائنا وبركة لنا ولأولادنا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, to accept from us, to make the Quran, to make the Fatiha and the entire Quran the light of our grave, our consolation in times of fear, an intercession for us before Him on the Day of Judgment, and the blessing that will carry from us, inshallah, to our kids and to our progeny thereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Ameen. Aqim as-salah.